뽕.
George Capanelli here. Welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And Alan Huttner, we're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features, all interspersed with some great music.
Today, our topic is These Awkward Times. We're going to be talking about some of the things we as individuals and as a nation are facing and how we can turn some of these lemons into lemonade. You'll join Sedina and me for the next part of an enlightening interview with Greg Braden, best-selling author, wisdom keeper, and the man who's known for connecting the dots between the world of science and the world of spirituality.
We have music interludes with Carlos Santana, Put Your Lights On, The Beatles, Yesterday, and Celine Dion, Think Twice. Our special features today include an Albert Einstein rare piece with another strategy for living better, aging better, aging wisely. George and I will bring you the You've Got to Be Kidding news segment, and he'll close today, George, with a commentary on These Awkward Times.
So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century. Joseph Campbell, noted mythologist and author, said, "Opportunities to find deeper powers within ourselves come when life seems most challenging. So I choose faith over fear." Well, as all but the wealthiest 1% of our population know, we are certainly living in a most challenging time, especially as a result of the giant demographic wave that is coming. These statistics bear repeating. In the United States alone, one person every 7 seconds joins the second half of life crowd. Every day, 10,000 boomers retire. Every 68 seconds, someone is diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. As a result of the most recent financial implosion, only 1 out of 8 or 9 Americans who are old enough to retire have enough money to live out their remaining years in some level of dignity and quality. And as if this information alone is not enough to astound any of us, the average American spends between 80 and 90% of all the money they spend during their entire lifetimes on health care in the last year of their lives.
Our current world economic condition is also being made worse by those who deny the wisdom of John Maynard Keynes, the man who advanced the premise that economic recessions and depressions are best weathered through a combination of fiscal responsibility and incentive spending. Instead, some advocates appear intent on hurtling full speed down the path of making draconian budget cuts, a path that has failed over and over again to produce viable solutions to economic challenges. Add in a few other facts. People are living longer, and fewer children are being born in many of the world's developed countries. And the result is that we have a shrinking tax base and fewer public dollars to support the commons. And when one begins to better understand the scope of our dilemma, so when we say this demographic shift will impact many aspects of our lives, we are not exaggerating.
This demographic shift will alter our ability to support the commons, fire, police, education, our roads, and physical infrastructure, the kind of health care and medical services we require, the size and type of the organizations needed to deliver these services, and the way we pay for them, the way we design and make thousands of everyday products, the kinds of public buildings we construct, the forms of transportation we require, the kinds of private residences residences in communities. We build the number of people we require for life care services and the kind of life care communities we build and how we operate them.
The demographic revolution will also significantly change our definition of what the commons is, put a substantial strain on our financial system, require new levels of compassionate technology, and alter the type of public services we'll need to deliver. It will require that we reevaluate the kinds of food we eat, the type of exercise we do, the way we organize our lives, the way we plan for the future, many of our priorities, and a lot of our core values. In short, it will change the way we structure our society, and ultimately, if we are wise, the way we redefine the purpose of life.
You can say that again.
All right.
Yeah. So
redefine the purpose of life.
So there's a wave coming, a rip-roaring mother of a demographic wave, and unfortunately, most of us are unprepared for it. In fact, not only are we unprepared, the majority of us are living out our daily lives as if the lives we've known up until now will continue indefinitely. Talk about living in an illusion. And while all of this is happening, far too many of our leaders, following in the tradition of another great republic, appear to be more committed to fiddling than to addressing the fact that Rome is at risk of burning.
And are we smoldering yet, George? So, as a result of our growing awareness of these realities, and because we are card-carrying members of the second half of life crowd, we will be among those most immediately affected by this inattention and denial. We've decided we can no longer stand on the sidelines, but instead we have to get back onto the field where we can do something about this situation.
For us, doing something involves first putting our own houses in order, and that's what we're going to talk about today. It also involves remembering to exercise the enormous power that those of us in the second half of life have, both financial and electoral voting, to influence the kind of companies that exist, the kinds of products and services they deliver, the kind of political office holders we elect, and the power to use our experience to inform and engage those in younger generations in a new kind of dialogue. Above all, it involves our remembering the genuine power, the power that can make a positive difference going forward. That's the power of one, the power each of us as individuals has to continue doing the important and essential work of separating the chaff from the wheat and then having the wit and the courage to act on what we discover. If we do these things and choose faith over fear, we believe we can play a part in helping these awkward times to morph into the next stage of constructive, positive, conscious evolution for all of us.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Come back to the revolution. Age Nation Radio.
We're back with Greg Braden, best-selling author, teacher, guide.
And wisdom keeper, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And wisdom keeper, you bet.
So, Greg, to keep following this thread we're beginning to weave, now that you've given us really a wonderful sense of the emergence of your work while you were pursuing your scientific disciplines, if we could ask you to think about your books like Steps on a Path, could you in a sentence or two describe some of the essential messages that are in the books from, you know, walking between the worlds to, you can leave off at not turning points because we're going to pick that up in a little bit.
Sure.
But yeah.
Absolutely. No, the very first book was a self-published book that was entitled Awakening to Zero Point, The Collective Initiation. And that book arose, I was actually doing public speaking on these topics before the books were ever written. So by day, I was an engineer working in the corporations, and at night, I would go to the forums and the bookstores and offer these presentations, and people would ask for notes. So I began compiling notes, and what I found was the notes, these tattered, worn copies of the notes were being distributed and mailed and copied and recopied. They showed up all over the world. People were coming off of battleships from the Middle East whose families had sent them a package of some tattered notes, and they were circulating among the crew, and I found them on with oil crews working in South America.
Wow.
And so someone said to me, why don't you just compile these into a book? And so the first book was actually a result of my desire to honor my audience with some really clean, well-researched notes about the topics that I was talking about. And the second book was called Walking Between the Worlds, so you did mention that. And those books, what I understood very quickly early in my life was that we must first understand us and our relationship to ourselves and other people. Whether the romantic relationships or the relationship with the health of our bodies, or our families, or our friends, or our coworkers, we've got to get that figured out before we can ever begin applying those to the greater world at large. So the through line, George, to answer your question, is the earlier books were more about us, our relationship to ourselves through the eyes of 5,000 years of ancient wisdom. However, principles that have been validated by the best science of the 20th and now the 21st centuries. And as those books progressed, I felt like I'd said that. I didn't need to harp on that and keep re-saying it. I began to then expand those principles on a larger scale to social and global issues, and that leads right up to where the turning point is today. So that's the through line.
You know, it's funny. I think it's the Chinese that say that the reason for the family is that it gives us a chance to practice the things that we need to practice before we're asked to practice them in the world, you know. And so your progression is kind of like that.
I didn't know the Chinese have said that, but, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because, interestingly, the book Walking Between the Worlds, which, by the way, is out of print now, but the principles in that book are incorporated into the later books. It identified a series of mirrors of relationships that we will all see, seven mirrors of relationships that will show up in all of our lives in one way or another. it identified them in practical modern-day terms, but the principles were actually identified in 2,500-year-old texts from the Nag Hammadi Library and the Dead Sea Scrolls. So what it said to me is that although the times have changed, the process that we go through, the mirrors that show up in our lives, really don't. And they are progressive mirrors. They go from sequential. They go from very simple mirrors of people mirroring back to us things that we may not see within ourselves, to mirrors of people mirroring back to us things that we judge within ourselves, and our greatest fears, the great fears that we all universally, that we all sense in our lives. And once we begin to understand the universal nature and how ancient these things, I mean, these people had to deal with it 2,500 years ago as well. And I said, how did they do it? And what does it mean to us today? And I think that spoke to so many people. And there are many people today that said, Greg, why didn't you just stay with that?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, and I said, I feel complete with that. We offered it in so many venues and in so many countries, and it's been recorded in so many ways. It's out there for people that want that, but I wanted to carry it to the next level, and that has been a progression that continues to this day.
Right. Well, you know, the deep truth, I want to use that, that you're bringing that's so valuable in our world today is that knowledge, you know, that very ancient knowledge, and as you spoke about earlier, the spirituality and science. It's just so needed right now in this time. I think of myself as a spiritual being having a physical experience. So this is very empowering to me, to all of us, I know. So we're just grateful that you're bringing this all out.
Well, thank you.
And whatever iteration it takes.
Sure. Well, I want to be very clear with our audience. I am trained as a scientist. I think science is good. And I think we all know science does not have all the answers.
Right.
It's such a new way of thinking of our world. It's only about 300 years old on the one hand, and there are glaring gaps and inconsistencies in what science, the story that science tells us about our world. And on the other hand, we've got 5,000 years of a rich spiritual tradition. It's not a scientific language, but the principles worked for our ancestors in their world. And so my question, and this was when I was working behind the scenes in the defense industry during the last years of the Cold War. It was one of the most frightening times in the history of the world. 1987, for example, the world came closer to nuclear war, to doing the unthinkable and unleashing nuclear weapons on civilian populations than we've ever been in the past. And my thinking was, what is it that we can learn from that 5,000-year history married to the best science of the day that can help us so that we never find ourselves in this situation again? And I continue to be very passionate about that. As we find new ways to work together in the presence of our time of extremes, I think the beauty of doing that is that we become a global community, even more so with mutual interest in a secure future. We move away from those conditions that we saw in the late 1980s.
I won't spend our time today, but sometime I'll share a story with you of some time when I was in the Navy and on a guided missile cruiser involved with the launching of potential nuclear weapons and what an incredible impact it had in my life.
George, does this mean we get to share war stories?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do.
That's a good one. You'll have to hear that one.
Spiritual war stories.
Yeah, spiritual war stories. We don't have a lot of time left in this segment. In the remaining books, you know, the secret to the lost mode of prayer, the Isaiah effect, the God code, do you have a favorite?
No, I don't have a favorite. Each of those played a powerful role in my life at the time it was written. Each of them was very healing.
Mm-hmm.
For me to write in a single volume what I had found from the texts and the traditions of the people that I had shared time with, and how, although it was ancient, it wasn't obsolete. It was so contemporary with the experiences of today, and that it's all about a continuity of knowledge and hopefully the wisdom that comes from that knowledge.
So
That's okay. So, I heard the Tibetan.
Yeah.
It was clicking instead of clinking.
So we'll be back again shortly with Greg Braden.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio.
Age Nation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sadina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
Stop waiting. Now's the time. Age Nation Radio. You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.
All right, we're back. Alan Huttner and George Capanelli. I'm Alan. That's George. He's across from me. We're on the mics, and it's time for commentary on the interview, huh?
Yes, yes.
I'm sure you have some thoughts.
Well, the first thing that really strikes me is that when Greg talks about how he began, you know, that he began just with talks and things and then some notes that got circulated. And I remember the story that Ram Dass tells about the fact that when he came back from India and he had been tasked with writing a book and he had no idea how to do that, and that people started capturing his talks, and that's how Be Here Now came about, mm-hmm. you know. So it's just an interesting parallel that a number of people who we rever and who change our way of life don't necessarily begin as writers, but their thoughts get captured, and then we all get educated as a result of it.
Yeah. You know what stood out? But probably the thing that stood out the most in that segment is about practice. Yeah, he brought it up that, family is a way to practice a relationship with the world. And I was thinking, well, you know, we want to, if you're on the path of the spiritual path, you need to establish a good relationship with yourself, but you need somebody else to be a mirror.
Yes.
We talked about a mirror that hopefully loves you, that you can trust. Now, if you don't have that, it's difficult to hear somebody's feedback to you because you don't have that trust or that love. But if you have a relationship to practice with, a wife, a partner, husband, whatever, and it's trusting and with love, then they'll give you feedback, and that's the practice. Then you change your ego persona behavior, and then if two people can do it, maybe three or four can do it, and maybe a community can do it, and maybe a globe can do it, or a world can do it.
And I think it's also important that, you know, as Carlos Castaneda reminded us over and over again, sometimes it's our most difficult relationships that are the ones in which we learn a lot, even when it appears that we're dealing with an adversary. So whatever the mirror is, I think we have the opportunity, the mirror you're talking about, which is love and support and encouragement, and we get to practice. And then on the other hand, there are these relationships that come up that really challenge us. And in those, sometimes we also learn our biggest lesson. And both of those, I think, add up to what you're talking about, which is the ability to practice and then increase, and eventually with community in the world, we become a different kind of world. So Greg just does some wonderful stuff. Eventually, as you and I have talked about, we're going to make the full interviews that we all do available, and we're going to get to that pretty shortly, available for people to download and whatnot, and we're not quite there yet. So thanks, Greg. It's a pleasure talking to you.
All right. I just wrap up with the fact that I don't know if you know this, but Greg has been in New Mexico for a long time. He's one of our community neighbors, and we get to speak with him in person every once in a while, too, and he's just a sweet soul guy.
Yes, he is. It's our time for our segment called You've Gotta Be Kidding. Each week we look at those items in the news that show Alan and I certainly, and hopefully many of you, how wacky our world is. And sometimes they give us a lot of hope. Today it's the wacky side. This from the American Society on Aging. Seniors lose nearly $3 billion a year to a wide variety of scams, medical, timeshare, those related to their grandchildren, the lottery, and more. What's really abhorrent is that most of these schemes are perpetrated by people they know. I got to tell you, taking advantage of the elderly, you got to be kidding.
You know, this also from the American Society on Aging newsletter. Dementia is the debilitating illness that is characterized by degeneration of memory, cognition, behavior, and the ability to perform activities of daily living. Approximately 35.6 million people worldwide have dementia, and there are 7.7 million individuals diagnosed with some form of dementia each year. And this from Oxfam, just over a week ago, actually the 20th of January, published by TheGuardian.com, it was reported that the 85 richest people in the world control more wealth than half of the world population. Also, the 1% richest people total wealth is 65 times greater than the poorest half of the world. So put that in your equality pipe and smoke it, or in other words, you just got to be kidding.
So this one from the Daily Kos, I entitle it, Let Them Eat Nothing. Jason Olson, a Salt Lake City district spokesman, said the district's child nutrition department became aware that a large number of students owed money for lunches. As a result, the child nutrition manager visited the school and decided to withhold lunches to deal with the issue. But cafeteria workers weren't able to see which children owed money until after they already had their lunches. So the workers took lunches from students and threw them away, he said, because once food is served to one student, it can't be served to another. Wake up, Utah. You got to be kidding. You know what I mean, Alan? I mean, just dumb.
I know what you mean.
Plain dumb. Who knows what it is that is motivating and driving so many fools in our world today? You know, I mean, we have this segment called You've Got to Be Kidding, and in some ways we're doing it a little tongue-in-cheek, but the truth of the matter is there are a lot of clowns walking around.
I have a You Got to Be Kidding here. Referring back to our earlier commentary on the interview about nuclear proliferation, we may have talked about this a few days ago when you and I were meeting, and Greg brought it up about the threat. And, you know, we don't perceive the threat anymore as much as we did during the Cold War period. And you're a big Bucky Fuller fan, and they used to play the World Game on a gymnasium floor and a theater floor. And I just give the bottom line of the game. They would pull out a chest that was about 3 feet by 2 feet wide by 2 feet high, was filled with 20,000 dime-like chips. Each one of them represented the nuclear warhead kill capacity in an actual scale miles on the map.
Uh-huh.
And there were about 150 people on the map. They represented the world population of about 6.2 billion at the time. So every one of them represented 40 million people, and they went and they scooped up these discs and they threw them on the map, and they took turns. 150 people did, and by the time it was all over, the map was so covered you couldn't see land, you couldn't see sea. So this is the you got to be kidding part about nuclear overkill. And I'd say, well, maybe we've reduced our stockpiles now, but we haven't. We have 17,700 nuclear active warheads to it.
And we spend huge amounts of money annually trying to just keep them safe, because, you know, there's a degradation of the silos, there's a degradation of the equipment in general, and yet here we have all of these active warheads. So we're living in a time where there are a lot of nuclear situations. Unfortunately, a lot of them are happening in the minds of people without the discernment and the intelligence to know that we really should be, could be, must be living in a world where there's much greater intelligence and much greater love and compassion. That's, I think, one of the things that Bucky was attempting to do. So next week, we'll look at some other you gotta be kidding elements.
Age Nation Radio. Love. Laugh. Enjoy life.
Age Nation.
We are Age Nation. We will soon be 150 million people strong. We're 40 and older and represent the fastest growing population segment. We weren't born yesterday and we're not dying tomorrow. We work, create, and contribute. We buy the majority of new cars, invest, travel, control 80% of this nation's wealth and at least that much of our faculties. AgeNation.com is our website. It's a doorway to valuable information, inspiration, radio, live and online education and entertainment, digital magazine, books, products, discounts, and more, all from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time. AgeNation.com, for the generations who change the world and have the wisdom, experience, and the need to do it again. AgeNation.com, it's free. Sign up today.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Reclaim your passion. Age Nation Radio.
So George Capanelli and Alan Huttner back. At this time, normally we do a short-form feature. Sedina's not able to be with us today, so we're going to do a life achievement short-form. We do this because it's the moment when we have an opportunity to puncture the myth of youth that permeates so much of our culture. And we want to shed a little truth on the subject of aging and celebrate the lives of those who clearly demonstrate the wisdom author humanist John Chilton Pierce shares with us. He says, the real challenge of old age is to risk all habitual frames of reference and to open the mind to another field of possibility that lies beyond the physical. So welcome to the real world in which throughout history, a number of people who've lived remarkable, productive, vital, and extraordinary lives have contributed some of their greatest achievements to humanity in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and in some cases, their hundreds. Today's life achievement salutes Aldous Huxley, English writer, poet, humanist, pacifist, and satirist. Perhaps best known for his novels Brave New World and The Doors of Perception, Huxley was born near the end of the 19th century and became a leading exponent for breaking out of the ruts of ordinary perception. His interests in spiritual subjects, parapsychology, and mysticism, and his experimentation with psychedelic drugs helped him open his mind to realms beyond the physical. At the time of his death, in 1963, at the age of 70, he was widely acknowledged as one of the preeminent intellectuals of his time. If there's someone in your world, past or present, who's living or lived a remarkable life in their 50s and beyond, send us a short profile to info@agenation.com. We'd love to acknowledge them on this program and in our work.
Well, George is up in the batter's box or ready to give you a commentary. What's the title?
It's called Dealing with These Awkward Times.
Oh, that sounds like our show theme.
Yeah, all kind right, of. It's right. Funny how that happens, huh?
Well, so, why is it awkward? That's a long story.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about the fact that there's a simple formula that, if applied, can be of tremendous value in dealing with the challenges, and it certainly can help us deal with these awkward times. We call this formula the three A's of change. Awareness, or identification and naming, is the first step. In short, whatever is going on inside us or outside of us, we must be willing to bring it into the forefront of our consciousness by identifying and naming it first. I'm sad, I'm afraid, I'm confused, I'm excited, I'm hungry or surprised or alone, it's cold, it's night, it's high, it's deep, it's distant. So the first step is awareness of it and the naming. The second step is acceptance. Once named or identified, we have a variety of choices. We can deny, resist, avoid, or attempt to suppress the awareness, or we can accept the fact that we are indeed sad, afraid, confused, excited, surprised, hungry, or alone. We can accept that it is cold, or night, or high, or deep, or distant. And that sets the stage, of course, for the third part of this formula, which is the formula and the step called action. Once we've named and accepted whatever is going on inside or outside of us, we can then begin to have real choice as to what we need or want to do about the sadness, the fear, the confusion, or the excitement. So what does this have to do, this awareness, acceptance, action formula, with our topic today, dealing with these awkward times? From our perspective, a great deal. For if we choose not to be aware of the feelings, experience, and events that make these times awkward, if we keep pretending that everything is fine, and if we keep doing whatever we're doing and waiting waiting and kind of hoping for things to go back to the way that they were once, then we can be certain that we're going to be in for a rough ride in these difficult and awkward times. For in a world in which many of the fundamentals of life have changed, and we find ourselves dealing with what is called the new normal, there are new rules, new signs, new challenges, new goals and standards. Acceptance of this new normal, even if we're not quite sure what it means and what all of the changes are and how we're supposed to behave or express, it's critical, for this acceptance allows us to begin letting go of some of the beliefs and the habitual practices that we may be clinging to. The very beliefs and practices that may be preventing us from learning new skills, facing new challenges, or even working to adjust or modify aspects of the new normal that may not be as desirable or valuable as some believe. The third step in the formula, action, of course, is where the real gold is. And we want to pay a lot of attention to that, because once we come to that level of acceptance, then we can apply the full power of our creativity, our imagination, and intuition. So this simple formula, awareness, acceptance, and action, is a key to learning the life we were born to live, even in the most awkward times. It's the key to practicing Joseph Campbell's sage advice to choose faith over fear as a result of being able to explore opportunities as well as the challenges awaiting us in the new normal.
All right. Very, very well said. I don't know if there will ever be a normal, but call it a new normal. It won't last long. I guarantee it. Next week, we're going to turn our attention to an exploration of what is called the shift age. You'll hear an interview George and I did with futurist David Houle. Of course, relevant segues of music, enlivened aging strategies. Our gut, you know, got to be kidding piece, and I hear Rudy will rap.
He will rap indeed, and don't forget to visit Age Nation at agenation.com. Get your free copy of Next, our new digital magazine, and pick up a copy of Sedina and my new book called Do Not Go Quietly, A Guide to Living Consciously and Aging Wisely for People Who Weren't Born Yesterday. And if you like spending time and learning from some of the leading wisdom keepers of our time, visit navigatingyourfutureconferences.com and learn about a terrific series of weekends you'll want to be a part of.
Agenation Radio.
The best is yet to come. Agenation Radio.
Agenation Radio.
Every now and then, special people come together to do something special. May through November, on the beautiful retreat campus at Unity Village, Missouri, 16 leading wisdom keepers of our time will guide you on 6 remarkably transformative weekend journeys called Navigating Your Future. Jean Houston, Joan Borsenko, Bruce Lipton, Barbara Marks Hubbard, Neil Donald Walsh, Gary Zukav, Ram Dass, Hazel Henderson, George Capanelli, and Sedina Capanelli, Barbara DeAngelis, and more will lift your spirits, touch your heart, and share their unique gifts to support you in living the life you were born to live. Hosted by Age Nation and Awaken Whole Life Center, details at navigatingyourfuture.com. Take Mark Twain's sage advice. Throw off the bow lines. Catch the winds in your sail. Explore, dream, discover. NavigatingYourFutureConferences.com. Be there.
Over 40 and looking for answers to the challenges and remarkable opportunities ahead. Are you under 40 and want to know more about the world you'll soon inherit? Then Do Not Go Quietly is the perfect book for you. Inspiring, empowering, full of practical guidance, this best-selling book has already won 3 2013 book awards. It is a powerful call to action into a life of genuine purpose for those who weren't born yesterday. Wise woman Jean Houston says it's profound, compassionate, and deeply useful. So live the life you were born to live, and remember, you're never too old or too young to live your dreams. Available on Amazon.com, at Barnes & Noble, and bookstores everywhere. For free downloads, interviews, and a lot more, visit DoNotGoQuietlyTheBook.com.
You're listening to Age Nation Radio. It's a state of mind.